Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah.
I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your paper calendar using, keeping all my ducks in a row, and not counting eggs until they hatch girlfriend.
And I'm Kathleen, your rainbow striped dress wearing, Lara bar eating, sitting in front of my AC naked friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, Kathleen, I brought to the table this amazing gathering that everybody is talking about doing at Area 51 in September. I'm really excited about it, and I have some more info on it.
We're joining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're part of the Facebook group that we're going to storm Area 51.
Oh, yeah. I've already signed on as my personal self that I'm going.
I don't care if there's top secret military stuff behind there and they're going to shoot me. At least I go down trying to find out the truth about aliens.
There is, and they will. What did you bring to class this week, Kathleen?
You know, I've been so obsessed with Reddit lately, the beauty section. Do you go on Reddit often?
All the time.
I have a couple beauty questions for you, for me, you know, like let's just discuss the beauty of our faces. I'm interested in like things that you've tried, and like I haven't really tried anything, so I'm interviewing you about your beauty routine.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I have many opinions. I do need to talk to you, Kathleen, because I'm now about 6 months into this relationship that I'm in with my boyfriend, Dennis.
I write a mark on my wall every day just to track the timing of your relationship.
And we've had our first, like, this was an issue.
you're not broken up though, right?
No, okay. We're together. We've pushed through, but it's definitely going to be the first thing that drives me crazy. The first time I ever met Dennis was at his house because I was recording a podcast there, and I used his restroom, and I noticed that he has a squatty potty. Okay, for those of you who don't know what a squatty potty is, I think it was on Shark Tank.
I like squatty potties.
No, they're great.
Bethany, you used my bathroom yesterday.
You have one too.
And I have one too.
I noticed. Did you buy it or was it gifted to you?
No, I bought it. Okay. Because I had to excavate.
Okay. So,
is this making you uncomfortable?
So uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
So a squatty potty, if you don't know, is it was an invention. It's a big piece. It's like a plastic stool.
Uh-huh.
A white plastic stool shaped like a U. It sits around the base of your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have to go to the bathroom, I don't know if you pull it out or what, but you prop your feet up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it more properly aligns your body to defecate.
To defecate, yeah. And yeah, exactly. You like pull it out a little bit so you can get your feet on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I give myself pedicures on my squatty potty because I can better see my toes closer to my face.
Okay, I mean, see, and it makes sense. And like, I understand its use. I understand. But you guys know, like, I don't do well with this stuff.
With poop type talk.
I don't like it.
I got mine for 20% off at Bed Bath & Beyond. Use coupon.
That classic.
It was a goodbye, Bethany. You can't be upset about a goodbye.
It's like, in and of itself, I am not upset about the squatty potty. I don't like the name of it. Whatever.
It's catchy.
My thing is, our kind of routine now is that Dennis comes over usually on the weekends and lives here on the weekends, mostly because he loves my cats a little bit to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and as you know, Kathleen, because you've been into my house, I have two cardboard mini couches that my cats lay on.
Yes, you do.
They're like little scratching posts, but they're little cardboard cat couches. They're adorable.
Adorbs.
So it's a kind of a tight fit in my bathroom. And so I had been noticing that Dennis.
I don't know if it's quite of a tight fit in your bathroom. Is he using the cat couches as his squatty potty?
He has been using the cat couches. Here's how I figured it out. For the longest time. No, it is not. For the longest time, I thought he was kicking the couch by accident because it was such a tight squeeze. Because every time he would leave the bathroom from being an aggressive raw vegan in the bathroom, the couch had been moved from the wall to directly in front of the toilet, facing away as though there were like two rows of seats. Like the cat couch was the first row, the toilet was the second row.
Yeah, he's like propping up his feet to get his like body into that excavation position.
Finally occurred to me, he is using my beloved kitten's couch.
Yeah, your cat couch.
To prop his feet up so that his knees are up around his ears so he can better brace to defecate by using my baby's couch to place his feet on. It is so so then every time I come into the bathroom, it's still there. He doesn't move it back. And once I finally realized what it was.
That's his first mistake.
Yes. I was like, okay, I'm not going to yell. I'm going to be rational. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dennis, mm-hmm. are you using the kitten's couch as a makeshift squatty potty? And I expected him to be ashamed. And he was not. And in fact, he was very proud.
Good for him.
He looked up at me from the couch like he had just solved a 1,000-year-old treasure mystery. And he said, yes, I am.
Good.
And I said, no, you at least must move it back.
Bethany, the man eats nothing but vegetables.
It's fine. He can do whatever he wants in the bathroom. That's fine. He needs to move it back so I don't have to see it. So then the next time he goes to the bathroom, does he move it back?
No.
No, he does not. No. So then I come out and I said, Dennis. I said, Dennis, I really believe in you. And I believe in your ability to remember to move the cat couch back. I know you can do this.
Putting too much faith in him.
He remembered the next time. Mm. The time after that, back in front of the toilet. Yeah.
Okay. So, welcome to a relationship where nobody remembers anything.
I don't want to picture my boyfriend.
It happens.
Grimacing on the toilet, pushing against my cat couch as though he's yeah. giving birth, and my cat couch is the midwife holding his ankles.
I am actually quite impressed with his ingenuity.
Don't side with him.
And I think that to protect your cat couches, you know, preserve their cuteness, vegan man footprints in them. Ugh. I think you should go buy a squatty potty.
Absolutely not.
Bethany, you need to try it. You walk out of that bathroom feeling 15 pounds lighter.
I don't care.
The world is your oyster after you've used a squatty potty.
I don't want to think about it.
They're easy to clean.
Why are you cleaning them? What's happening on your toilet that you have to clean them?
Well, you know, if you like live with a guy who stands up to pee sometimes, I don't know. There's like ricochet drops. I don't know.
I am not putting one more thing that pee can land on in my bathroom.
I'm going to buy a squatty potty.
I'm going to throw away the squatty potty.
And, like, okay, so what if I like spray paint it pink and make it real cute?
No, fuck that. Look,
what if I write Dennis's name on it? Like, you know, when you get plastic toys personalized for little kids, you know, like sand buckets.
Yeah.
And someone with marker has like done those hand letterings where each point has a big dot on it.
The bubble. It's like a bubble on the end. Yeah. Yeah. They're so fun for little kids. Look, he can use the couch if he wants. That's really not even my issue. I'm just more traumatized that he keeps not putting it back. So then I have to picture him defecating, and I don't want to picture him defecating. I want to have sex with him.
I'm picturing him honoring his bowels, and that's how you should look at it too.
That's great. Just honor them and then push the couch back. I don't have to picture you honoring them.
You can't knock it till you try it.
It's not about that. It's about him not moving it back. I'm sure it's great. I don't want to see picture. Put it back. Just put the couch.
I'm sorry. I'm siding with Dennis on this.
Oh my god. Punch someone in the face and it's probably going to be me.
Let's go get some fiber cereal.
No.
So, Bethany, for me at least, getting in shape is not about losing weight. It's purely about feeling better inside and out and being more confident.
Mm-hmm. I had a meeting with my nutritionist and she was saying, you can't be about what you want to look like. It needs to be about how you feel in the moment. And if working out makes you feel good, you're going to be more likely to do it.
And eating better food is not only good for your brain health, it's good for your stamina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've been using the Noom app. Have you heard of it?
Love the Noom app.
Yeah, to track my healthy eating habits and to motivate myself to eat better, more wholesome foods.
So Noom is a habit-changing app that helps you learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based in psychology, and so it teaches you why you do the things you do, and then it arms you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. It uses cognitive behavioral approaches.
Yeah.
A lot of times, being worried about what you eat keeps you from going out and seeing people that you love.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're afraid that you're going to be tempted by foods that you don't want to necessarily be eating, the Noom app can really help you with that. It walks you through, it helps you trust your ability to make good choices, and there's no such thing as good food or bad food, which is what I really love about the app.
Using the Noom app feels like I'm practicing self-care. And it helps me control my stress that I have around food. It helps me control my food anxiety. And listen, we're all strapped for time.
Yeah.
Noom, I spend 10 minutes a day and it feels like me time. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes, 10 minutes a day.
And I know, Kathleen, one thing you love about it too is that you're not doing it alone. You have a goal specialist and there's an entire Noom community that you can get and give support. And you all kind of feel like you're going through this learning journey together.
I love it. You do not have to change your life in one day. Small steps make big progress.
So sign up for your trial today. At Noom, that's N as in Nancy, O-O-M as in mother.com/taste.
What do you have to lose?
Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/taste. All right, Kathleen, what'd you bring to the table?
Let's talk about face.
Okay.
I was scrolling through Reddit's beauty section yesterday. There's so many interesting things there, and people give such great advice. But I was reading this thread on whitening solutions, and I'm afraid to get my teeth whitened because I have really sensitive teeth. Have you ever done it?
Yes, and I don't recommend it if you have sensitive teeth.
Yeah.
Because you get, do they talk about that? Like the random stabbing pain that you get?
So a couple of years ago, I used the Crest White Strips and my teeth are chipped in a couple of places. So I think my nerve endings are exposed.
Ow.
And so I used the Crest White Strips and the next day it was like stabbing pain, like tiny little knives inside of my teeth. And I'm not even one to not be able to eat cold food. Like that kind of stuff really doesn't affect me. I'll get a ping every now and then.
Yeah.
But these freaking Crest strips,
yeah,
which I want to use so badly, but especially on my front chompers, I absolutely died.
Yeah, it's bad. I use whitening toothpaste, but I can't use those strips. Or like, heaven forbid, those trays you get that glow and then whiten your teeth. They hurt so, so much. They're just too aggressive.
So have you ever gone to the dentist and gotten it done professionally?
Mm-mm.
See, I need to look into that because I wonder if you still have the stabbing pain or if it's like a higher quality.
Yeah.
It's always something that I've been interested in. You know, I hate the people who I'm like, oh my God, your smile is so amazing. Your teeth look amazing. Do you not drink coffee? B, what are you using on your teeth?
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, my smile is like this naturally.
No, they're lying.
They're totally lying.
Yeah, that's a lie.
If you're an adult that drinks coffee or has like been around at all,
yeah,
your teeth are not perfectly. Sometimes people will open their mouths and I'm like, God, I need to put on my sunglasses.
Yeah. I like the idea that just being around makes your teeth yellow. Like just going through too many hard life experiences in your life, your teeth are just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I've been through so much. Oh, God.
I've seen so many drunken nights and cheeseburgers.
Exactly.
Give me broccoli.
I was getting my lashes tinted today, and the woman lying next to me, I overheard her conversation. I guess she had false lashes like glued on.
Uh-huh.
And she came in for a checkup for a fill, and the woman said, "Didn't I just see you last week?" And she goes, "Yeah. It was a hard weekend." So she came in apparently with like bald patches in her eyelashes because
she only got them done a week ago. Wait, can you talk to me about eyelash tinting for a second?
It's scary.
Okay. But you get it done because you have very blonde lashes, right?
And they're straight. So I get them permed and I get them darkened. And I've only just started doing this because it got to the point where I was spending so much time, I had to blow dry my eyelash curler to make it hot before I could curl them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was becoming enough of an issue. Like during shoots, if I was getting my makeup done by someone, I would have to say, you can only use this brand of mascara because everything else is too heavy and my eyelashes will fall, and then we need to blow dry the thing, and I was like screw this, I'm just gonna perm them.
That's crazy. Have your eyelashes always been like that, always straight out?
Yeah, perfectly straight. They grow like down over my eyes. They don't have a single bit of curl to them.
I've never even thought about that. I used to use a curler when I was young, and then once I know somebody who was using a curler and her little cousin jumped on the bed and it, like, her arm jerked out, and you know you have to press down really hard when you're using an eyelash curler to like really get those lashes in there, and all of her eyelashes came out. So I stopped using it after that, and now I just like kind of rely on the mascara that promises to lift and whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
I've tried the lifting mascara. It's too heavy. It pulls mine down.
Mm-hmm.
I've used just regular eyelash curler. It doesn't work. I have to heat it with a blow dryer and get it hot.
Yeah.
I've tried electric eyelash curlers that heat themselves and you sort of brush them up and over. Those don't work.
I've never seen those.
Yeah, they work for some people. I think your eyelashes maybe have to be really thin and light, but mine are like heavy. Mm-hmm. And so nothing works. And so finally I was just like, this is such a waste of time.
Isn't it funny how kind of like your hair, I don't know if this happens to anybody else, it happens to me. I have good eyelash days and bad eyelash days.
Yeah, totally.
And so I think a lot about this, and I think about the timing of when I put my mascara on. And I think that if I'm jumping out of the shower and putting my makeup on right away, I do not have a good eyelash day then, because I think my eyelashes are still wet.
You need to let them settle.
Yeah, I have to let them settle, let them fully dry. Because if I wait and go to work without makeup and then put my makeup on at work, my eyelashes look so much better.
Yeah, I think there's definitely eyelashes. I remember when I was in high school, I first learned how to use an eyelash curler from watching Kevin O'Quan on Oprah. And I went into band class, and that day just hadn't worked. I couldn't get all the eyelashes in it. And so they were fucked up. Like, there were eyelashes going every direction, and there's nothing I could do. And so I went into my band class, and second chair clarinet, Jenny A. Strike, she looked at me, she was like, problem with the eyelash curler today, huh? And I got so mad. You're like, but they truly looked like I had stepped on a daddy long leg spider and like attached it to my they were all over the place. So
when they perm your eyelashes, do they put like cream on it, like they're perming your hair?
Yeah.
Does it burn your eyes?
No. So the first time I did it, she got some in my eyes, and it definitely was like a hellish experience.
And because it's the first time, you want to come across as nice because you're not a regular yet, and you're like, don't say anything. Well, don't say anything.
And I didn't know that that wasn't how it was supposed to be. So I just assumed like, oh, this will burn your eyes for an hour and you'll be in a hell on earth, like deathscape.
Yeah.
But then I just, for various reasons, I was like, I have to do this again. So like a year later, and they didn't burn at all. Like, she did a much better job. Yeah. She was way more careful. So they put a silicone strip on your lower lashes to hold those in place.
Uh-huh.
And then they take like a little like rod, like a little foam rod or whatever, and they put it above your lashes, and then they like brush glue onto your eyelashes to hold them against that rod. And then they put like, perming solution on it. So they'll take the shape of the rod.
Yeah.
And then if you're getting them tinted, they'll put a tint on it. And the whole thing takes like an hour.
That's wild.
But I put on podcasts, and I just listen to podcasts because your eyes have to be closed, so you can't do anything. Like, they put towels over your eyes and stuff.
So they don't care. They don't think it's like rude if you're not listening to them or anything. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I want to try this.
I don't think you need it. Maybe the tinting, if you wanted to get the tinting done, which I think is much easier. But the perming itself is, you can't wear any makeup for 2 days afterwards. You can't wear any makeup a day before. Like, you have to be. There are no serums.
Don't know if I could do that. Mama loves her serums.
Like, I'm not wearing any makeup right now. And it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make in pursuit of beauty.
I have always been jealous of the people who are confident enough to get some of their makeup tattooed on.
Oh, that's risky.
I would, you know how they do like that, the tattoo in the eyebrows now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they call it? Like microblade? I don't even know.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Where if somebody has really light eyebrows, it's like, I just don't know.
Okay, but sometimes it looks so great. Sometimes it looks awful.
I saw somebody who had it done, and their eyebrows were just too dark.
And then what do you do?
And you're looking at them, and you're like, oh my God, you've made the biggest mistake of your life. Now, luckily, I'm under the impression that the ink that they use in your eyebrows, and I could totally be 100% wrong, is different than the ink that they use when they do a regular tattoo.
God, I hope so.
Because after time, this person's eyebrows, they kind of like faded.
Oh gosh, because otherwise you have to go through the process of getting the tattoo removed, which involves scabbing over.
So our friend Dina, she gets her, she's like so pale, she's so blonde. Mm-hmm. She gets her eyebrows tattooed, and she has to like go back for touch-ups because she says, like the ink that the artist that works on her, it does fade.
Oh.
Now what I really want, you know when makeup artists, they do this thing on your lash line called cutting in?
Yes.
And so
it's hard.
It's so hard. When I do it myself, I kind of use like my liquid liner.
Can you describe what that is?
So your eyeliner, right? When you get it so close to the lash line, you even get eyeliner in between your lashes.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, you know how sometimes like, especially when I was younger, I would put on eyeliner and I'd look down and you could see like a definite line between where my lash line actually was and where my eyeliner was.
You still can with me. I have not figured out the art of like not making that happen.
So what I like to do is I like to take my my liquid eyeliner pencil and then just like gently, not even like draw it on, just press the entire length of the liquid pencil against my lash line. So some of it gets on my lashes and some of it gets on my skin.
So I don't use liquid eyeliner because I am terrified of it.
Really? No, you got to do it.
I can't. I don't know if there's like, if my eyelids are too wrinkly or something, but I cannot get it to go in a straight line. I just can't. It's terrifying.
So what I do is sometimes I'll put on my regular eyeliner and then trace over it with liquid eyeliner.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And there's two different types of liquid eyeliner. There's the felt pencil, uh-huh, and then there's the other kind where it's like a little pot and then it comes with like a little paintbrush.
Yeah.
And they make those paintbrushes and like I buy mine at like Target or the drugstore or something. I think I use like Maybelline. They make, or Revlon. Revlon makes a liquid liner with a little paintbrush. There's a little pot that's called Super Skinny.
Okay.
And the letters are skinny. So you know.
So you know it's super skinny.
The font on the actual product is skinny.
That's good.
And that is really easy to use.
Okay.
Really easy.
Speaking of marketing, not to get super off topic, we were talking the other day just like privately about how the number one rule of like graphic design is the letters need to be really easily readable.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And there's this coffee shop at right by the PATH station in Hoboken, and it's called Joboken.
Yes.
J-O-Boken.
I love Joboken.
I, for the first five times maybe that I saw it, I thought it was called J.C. Boken because it's a J and then an O, but the O has a little line on the right-hand side. I don't know why. Yeah. So it looks like a C.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing like separating it from the Boken. And there's no E after Joe as in coffee. So mm-hmm, both words are just spelled wrong.
Yes.
And like it's not clear. And it also looks like a C. So I was thinking of you yesterday when I saw J.C. Boken.
Yeah.
I have never been in because I'm mad about their branding.
Well, that's the number one rule in graphic design or illustrating for package design or something. It doesn't matter how good your design is. If the person using that product cannot read what it says, yeah, that you're trying to convey,
yeah,
start from scratch.
It's crazy. It's like, spell Joe like cup of Joe then. If mm-hmm, it's going to, because J-O means nothing in the world of coffee. And I know that it's like, it rhymes with, but just commit to the Joe.
Yeah.
And why is there a line in your O? Is it supposed to look like a cup of coffee? Because it's not. It's a circle inside the O. So now you just have a line. Now it's a C.
Fabulous coffee, bad logo.
Joe Boken. It looks like J.C. Boken. I thought it was a dude.
Yeah.
Also, there's that store. Was it like Jackrabbit?
Yes.
I store Jackrabbit?
Yeah, I know what store you're talking about.
Apparently, it's a running store.
Mm-hmm.
Fully thought it was a wireless store. I thought it was like a Verizon.
No, Jackrabbit's a running store.
Because I thought the text was red and uh-huh, it was like loopy, so it reminded me of a cord and like a jack, like a phone jack, like
I understand
a phone
that
port. Yeah. I absolutely thought that it was a phone store, so I never went in because I didn't need a new phone.
Oh, well, you could have had like a really large collection of high quality sports bras by now.
So what else did you learn on Reddit?
So I wanted to talk to you about picking the right shade of foundation.
Mm.
Because a lot of my friends, A, don't wear foundation, or B, wear really wrong shades. And I'm not afraid to say if I'm friends with someone, because I hope someone will return the favor to me.
Yeah.
You're wearing the wrong shade of foundation.
It's so hard to find it. If you go into my medicine cabinet right now, four different bottles of different brands of foundation to try and mix,
yes,
into one that matches my skin.
So the tried and true test, they say, is the inside of your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Except sometimes my face gets tan. So mm-hmm, like, and the inside of my wrist isn't necessarily tan. So I think that's false.
And also, have you noticed that foundation darkens over the day?
Yes, it does.
That's the thing I don't know what to do about. This is especially Rihanna. Her Fenty foundation is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't tried any of her stuff.
It's really, really good. And it comes in such a wide array of colors for everyone's skin tone and undertones, but it does definitely darken over time. So the one I have is nearly white because I'm very pale.
Because you're very pale, yeah.
By the end of the day, it's orange.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that
it sits in, probably your facial heat changes the chemistry of it or something.
If I truly want my makeup to look good, I need to, so let's say I go to work at like 5:30 in the morning, okay? Yeah,
before Jesus wakes up.
So I put on my makeup usually about like 5 o'clock or 4:45.
Yeah.
And then if I really need my makeup to look good, I need to reapply or do touch-ups every 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's just the way my skin works. Like my skin absorbs my makeup. So I've been mixing foundation colors. Mm-hmm. Like for the summer, I do like a pump of my winter foundation, then like another pump of my summer foundation. I mix.
Yeah. If I have an event or something I need to look good for and I'm trying to get ready for it in advance, I will do all of my eye stuff and I won't touch my face, my skin until it's like an hour. And then I'll do my foundation because it's just going to cake up, look awful. And my pores are dime sized. Mm-hmm. Like you can, whole families of little fleas can fit inside each pore.
I feel your pain,
it's
sister.
Like a honeycomb.
Yeah.
It all just like soaks in. So yeah, I wait.
You know what? So I got my makeup done for a wedding once and the makeup artist did that. She did my eyes first and I thought she was doing it wrong. Because just for me, it feels like I need to have my foundation on and then I do my eyes.
It's a weird feeling. But the nice thing is that if anything falls onto your cheeks from your eye makeup, then you can wipe it away and then do your foundation.
It's something I've been trying to do more lately. I used to be so heavy on the powders.
Yeah, I love powder.
I love powders, but they really do settle into all, and especially now that I'm in my 30s. Like I'm really self-conscious about laugh lines and like lines on my forehead and lines in between my brow and stuff. And the powder just, it's like, I don't know, dogs to peanut butter.
I know, but then
right into my cracks.
I want to look like a Victorian woman, over powdered with like a black heart on my cheek to hide the pimple. I don't know, because otherwise how do you set it? I need to set it and forget it.
Are you familiar with Glossier?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're great.
I love that brand. Mm-hmm. And their Instagram, everything that they're about is dewy. So I've been trying to do the dewy look, and it's something that does need touch-ups. I need to carry those clean and clear oil pads.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it happen. I've been using a lot of their products, like cream blushes, which I'm loving. But you know, it's like build upon color.
Does dewy stress you out?
You know what? I'm almost finding it to be a little bit easier. And because I would rather look a little shiny midday than like 75-year-old woman with powder settled into her cracks.
Yeah, that's fair.
So they have cream blush, which I've never used until now. Mm-hmm. And
is that their cloud paint?
Their cloud paint. Love it's their amazing. Cloud paint. And then they've got cream eyeshadow, which I've been using. Love that. And of course their boy brow, which is one of their most classic products.
Yeah.
And I'm liking it.
Their stuff is really, really good. I like that they don't test on animals, which is awesome. They have a product. Oh my God, wait, it's such an awful name. I have to look it up. It's like, it looks like semen.
Oh, is it that serum stuff or?
It's face milk or something.
Oh, milk jelly, face jelly.
It's
their cleanser, right?
Yeah, but it's got this awful name. It's not milk, I don't think it's milky jelly. It might be milky
jelly. It's milky jelly. So you like that? You like that cleanser?
It's a good product, but the name makes me very uncomfortable.
So you know me, it's like, if it don't hurt, it don't look good. So
you once burned your entire face off because you thought you needed to hold it on for that long to do some sort of,
like, my mustache peel. Remover. I thought my mustache will really be gone forever if I just leave this on and let it burn. I find that milky jelly.
It's a viscous, semi-transparent white liquid.
You know what they use in porn? They use another milky liquid cleanser, Cetaphil. You know, Cetaphil has like a...
Yeah.
I think it's Cetaphil. They have like their original cleanser, which has been around forever. It looks like semen when you pop it out. Very similar to Glossier's Milky Jelly cleanser consistency. I consider my makeup spackle.
Spackle, yeah.
And
or shellac.
I need a shellac. I need the Neutrogena Orange or BioClarity, which I use all the time.
Yeah. Milky Jelly is good, but I do like tried and true... I'm gonna stick to our BioClarity because it doesn't make me feel like I'm rubbing DNA on my face.
Yeah.
Some gentleman's DNA all over
my
face.
I will rub anything on my face to A, make myself more beautiful, B, give myself clearer skin, C, to live longer. I will rub anyone's semen on my face.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm sure there's a lot of dudes online who will take you up on that. If you had to tattoo one piece of makeup on your face and it was going to be bold.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be?
Eyeliner.
You would do a bold eyeliner. I would do like a
winged. And no, it's a bold move. I would do like a winged eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Oh my God, it's a hard question. What would you do?
Because then you're the person showing up to the gym, no makeup on, but you have a wing.
Oh God, you're right. And it looks ridiculous.
It looks ridiculous.
What would you do?
I would do, okay.
Beauty mark? You'd do a beauty
mark. I would do a beauty mark. Uh-huh.
I know you.
I want to know if that's an option.
Yes, of course it's an option.
Because once I had a zit that was like on my upper lip, it was not a cold sore, it was a zit. it was on my up. No shame to cold sores, just saying. I'm trying to, you know, whatever. There it was. And in photos, it was like at the point where it was a little dark because it had like popped and was now scabbing over. It's so gross.
And it looked beautiful.
It looked stunning. It made every picture look better.
Yeah, you know, a lot of makeup tutorials that I've been seeing on Instagram lately are about using eyeshadow, brown eyeshadow, for fake freckles on your face.
They're so cute. They're so cute.
Actually, I'd probably do eyebrows because I did an upper pluck instead of a lower pluck when I was in eighth grade, and I have like a little patch where it's a little bald.
That's all right.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm going to do a beauty mark, preferably in the shape of a heart, and you're going to do your overbrow.
Oh, we're going to look bad. The other day, I saw an article. All the products you can buy that are made out of recycled plastic water bottles.
How many things were on the list?
There were actually quite a lot, but you know what was top of the list?
Rothy's.
Rothy's sneakers. Mm-hmm. Rothy's flats. Rothy's loafers.
Rothy's has quickly grown to become the most loved gotta-have-them brand, and they have nearly 1,000 perfect reviews. They are the flats that we've been talking about for a long time now. They're flats that are made out of recycled water bottles. They turn the water bottles into this super soft thread.
Science.
Using science. And then there's no seams on the shoe, so they fit like a sock, but they wear like a shoe. There's no breaking in period. There's no calluses. They're seriously the most comfortable flats I've ever worn.
They're stylish. They're sustainable. They're washable. All of this in one pair of shoes. And I was at kind of like a fancy restaurant with my mom, and she was wearing her Rothy's with her white pants.
Yeah.
And it just looked so sharp and so clean. And she was wearing the freaking most comfortable shoe ever in a fancy restaurant. Looked amazing.
They go with yoga pants. They go with regular pants. They go with dresses. They go with, put them with ball gown.
Basically,
you know,
everything.
Yeah.
So they have four different silhouettes. I have the sneaker.
I have the loafer.
And then they have the round toe flat and the pointy toe flat.
Mm-hmm. They come out with new colors and patterns every few weeks. They sell out constantly. And the best part is that Rothy's has diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills.
Also, more important than landfills, BuzzFeed, which deemed Rothy's the forever shoes.
So you need to try your own Rothy's. Check out the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/taste. That's rothys.com, rothys.com/taste to get your new favorite flats.
Your feet are going to thank us.
Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. So head to rothys.com/taste today. So, Kathleen, in the spirit of this podcast being about embracing the weird quirks about you and loving who you are and loving each other and everyone fits in, I really want to talk about aliens impending storming of Area 51 that's happening in September 20th that I have signed up on Facebook to be attending.
Well, I'm honoring my inner alien by saying hell yes to this topic. So Area 51.
Yes.
That's in Roswell.
Area 51 is in Nevada. Nevada.
So my favorite WB show growing up, starring Shirley Applegate.
Shiri Appleby?
Shirley Appleby. That's right. She's Appleby. Applegate are my sausages.
Yeah, it's your delicious, delicious links.
So are Area 51 and Roswell different places?
They are different places. So Roswell is linked to aliens because an alien reportedly crashed in Roswell, and like they found an alien and they did an autopsy and like...
And so hot teens live there and they experience weird things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's Roswell. Mm-hmm. Area 51 is a military base, and there's a lot of super secret stuff that's going on there. A lot of like flight tests that people think are spacecraft, but are probably like secret flight technology that like the public doesn't know that the government has.
I wonder if Will Smith has been there.
Will Smith has probably been there.
I mean, he saved America.
I think a lot of presidents probably ask about it when they first get into office. I know I would.
That would be my number one question.
Yes. So because there are so many questions surrounding Area 51, I'm sure you've seen, there is a Facebook page that has set a date for September 20th. It is called Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us, which obviously it's a joke page, but like over, how many is it now? Over a million people are going. Oh. 900,000 are interested.
I'm prepared to go, Bethany. I think that we should go together as a friend trip.
Yeah.
And we've hiked the Grand Canyon. There's no reason why we can't storm Area 51.
I think we should do it Crossroads style, starring Britney Spears.
Who
else was also in that?
The one from Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
Taryn Manning.
Taryn, yes.
Or is it Manning Taryn?
Taryn Manning. Uh-huh. And then also the woman who was in Avatar and who's
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana. Uh-huh. Did you say that?
I couldn't remember her last name until just now.
Yeah, Zoe Saldana. This is what the Facebook page says. We will all meet up at the Area 51 alien tourist attraction and coordinator entry. If we Naruto run, which is like an anime character where you run
with your head down forward and your arms behind you like a bullet.
Totally safe.
If we know how to run, we can run faster than their bullets. Let's see them aliens. So
I wonder if people are, I bet there are people like already making their way to Nevada, getting ready to do this.
I mean, they have a long time. It's July right now.
So when's the date? When's the storming date?
September 20th.
Okay. So yeah, about two months.
We have time to plan, Kathleen, is what I'm saying. And okay, so do you want to know a little bit about the history of all of campaign?
Up until 5 minutes ago, I thought that Area 51 and Roswell were the same place. So
okay. The plan to storm Area 51 went viral at the beginning of this month. And then
somebody got real high and made this Facebook group real high.
So Area 51 is obviously rumored to house dead aliens, living alien collaborators, living alien prisoners, UFOs, UFO technology inspired big ass military weapons.
Oh, but juicy.
One woman on Twitter, her name is @_KenziePuff. She made the point, as much as the Storm Area 51 meme might be funny, real UFO fans know the alien bodies were moved to a base in Ohio. 51 study spacecraft. Just saying.
Whoa.
Here's the deal with Area 51.
We need to know.
Because we're going to go, so we need to know.
Uh-huh.
The base's primary purpose is unknown to the public. It's a U.S. Air Force open training range. Uh-huh. They are honest about that. It's most likely supporting the development and the testing of experimental aircraft, weapons.
Easier to do that in the desert where people generally don't live.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It's never been declared a secret base. By the way, this is from Wikipedia. All of the things that happen there, all the research, all the developments, are listed as top secret, sensitive, compartmented information.
I'm willing to join the Army or the Air Force or whatever, mm-hmm. not the Navy, to find out about this.
And I think that it's a bad idea that you just said that publicly, because that's the last reason that they're going to hire you.
Joke's on them, because I speak alien. Beep, boop, boop, boop,
so
boop, bop.
The perimeter of the base, here's what they're saying, like the military is saying, don't come, because the perimeter of the base is marked out by orange posts. They're patrolled by guards in white pickup trucks and camouflage fatigues. The guards are popularly referred to as camo dudes by enthusiasts, not by the military. The guards will not answer questions about their employers, but there was a New York Daily News article that said that it's indicated that they're employed through a contractor.
Hmm.
So they're outside contractors coming in. Yeah, they're independent.
I wonder if they even know. Probably not. If they're outside contractors.
I bet they don't know.
Maybe they hear like whispers. Maybe they'll read a post-it every now and then.
Yeah. Like something that gets through, mm-hmm. like an overheard phone call.
Mm-hmm.
If they put like a glass up to the door.
Or or when your boss is texting and you just glance down to see what they're saying.
Down. Yeah, you look down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But signage around the base perimeter says that deadly force is authorized against trespassers.
They probably don't even release the numbers of the number of people who have died getting in there. A, because it's sad. B, also they don't want copycats. They don't want to give people ideas.
By the way, they have CCTVs and motion detectors too.
CCTVs?
Uh-huh. So here's the deal. Someone did actually get killed trying to go on to Area 51.
What? When?
Earlier this year, January.
The only thing I would get killed trying to enter would be the Haribo factory.
For all those delicious sugar-free bears that make you poo.
Oh, yeah. I just love those gummy peaches. Yes, the Haribo, the sugar-free Haribo gummies that make you shit.
I do read those Amazon reviews when I'm sad. So about the guy, this is from the website mysteriousuniverse.org, which is my favorite place to get news. A press release said that, quote, an unidentified male sped through a security checkpoint at the entrance to the Nevada National Security Site, of which Area 51 is a part. Both the sheriff's office and NNSS Security Protective Force officers pursued the man in what became a high-speed chase, which lasted 8 miles.
What?
Then the man came to a stop.
Was it Eminem?
This is not Eminem.
Mm-hmm. Different type of 8 miles.
We would have heard about it. Mm-hmm. He exited his vehicle. He had a cylindrical object, and then they opened fire, and he ended up dying. So they're not joking around. Like, they will kill you if you try to go there, which means that there are secrets.
The number one mistake, he went in the daytime using a car.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that if you're going to break into a place, it has to be at nighttime, mm-hmm. B, you have to be dressed like a ninja.
Three, you have to tunnel. It's mm-hmm. all about tunneling. Tunneling
it is.
Under. Mm-hmm. Tunneling under.
Yep.
Here are some of the conspiracy theories as to what is happening in Area 51.
Ooh, I feel like I should pour myself a cocktail.
Number one, the storage, examination, and reverse engineering of crashed alien spacecraft, including materials supposedly recovered at Roswell. The study of their occupants and the manufacture of aircraft based on alien technology. Number two, meetings or joint undertakings with aliens. If you have a meeting with an alien, it happens at Area 51.
Amy Adams is probably there. She speaks alien.
She does.
Mm-hmm.
Very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But time is strange for her now.
Alien linguist.
So it's hard to say. Number three, Meeting number three, the development of exotic energy weapons for the Strategic Defense Initiative or other weapons programs. Big ass guns.
Exotic energy weapons.
Yeah.
That's a vibrator for me.
Yeah. Yep, sure is. The development of weather control. The development of time travel and teleportation technology. The development of exotic propulsion systems.
I'm getting turned on legitimately.
Which is what Dennis uses my cat sofa for. Exotic propulsion systems.
Vegetable propulsion.
Activities related to a shadowy one world government or the Majestic 12 organization.
Wait, say that again. A shadowy one world government?
Yeah, New World Order, man. We are deep into conspiracy theory territory now.
I'm all for this.
Yeah. So a lot of these hypotheses are about like secret underground facilities, a transcontinental underground railroad system, my favorite. Some people think that there's a disappearing airstrip nicknamed the Cheshire Airstrip, which briefly appears if you spray water onto it and then it disappears.
What? Again. Get out of here. I saw a meme today. Who's the guy that did the fire festival?
That douchebag.
With Billy McFarland.
Billy McFarland.
I saw a meme today that was his face and he's like, hey, anyone want tickets for the Area 51 storming?
These people are doing it right. There is a website. It's the Area51Raid.com.
Uh-huh.
They have merch. You can get a Team Naruto Runner unisex t-shirt. You can get an iPhone case that says, I'm just here to clap some alien cheeks. You can get an Area 51 Raid 2019 commemorative shirt.
Mm.
And if you order now,
okay. You
can get a free alien iron-on patch.
Amazing.
Limit two per order due to limited quantities. The issue is you do have to cover shipping. So for me, bollocks. That was calculated at $4.89.
Did you order patches?
No. That's a $5 novelty alien patch. The other cool thing they have on that website is the battle plan consisting of three waves.
Ooh.
For how we're going to go in.
So they're spilling their military tactics.
Which is not a good idea, but at least we know what we're going to be going in for. Number one, Kyles powered by Monster Energy buff, rock throwers, and Naruto runners. So the Kyles will go in first.
Mm-hmm. Wait, a Kyle?
Yeah, Kyles.
What's a Kyle?
I don't know. Maybe dude's name Kyle.
Okay.
Number two, the second wave will be rock throwers. They come in directly behind the Kyles. And then the Naruto runners will be coming around both sides and then attacking from the north and south.
This is like a nerdy Game of Thrones.
This is wonderful. And for the record, this battle plan was made using Microsoft Paint. It looks really good.
As all thought out, well thought attack plans are made in Microsoft Paint.
This is all obviously a joke, although some people on the internet are taking it very seriously.
I'm taking it very seriously.
But spokesperson from the Air Force, Laura McAndrews, said that government officials know about the event.
Mm-hmm.
She said in a press release to the Washington Post, Area 51 is an open training range for the U.S. Air Force, and we would discourage anyone from trying to come into the area where we train American armed forces. The U.S. Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets. So the subtext of that is pop, pop, pop.
Pop, pop, pop.
We're going to
like soda
shoot you in the face.
No, like pop a can of spray.
And no, like pop, pop. They will shoot you in the face if you try to show up.
And like have a chat with the alien.
What I'm really excited about is to see how many people actually show up on September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people are the ones who are really like really dedicated to the cause.
I just came up with a brilliant idea that's going to make us a lot of money.
Okay.
We go on that day.
Mm-hmm.
We set up a little like lemonade stand.
But yeah.
Instead of selling lemonade, we sell tin foil hats. Haute couture.
Haute couture. Tin foil hat.
Tin foil hats.
It's a hot hat.
And we'll look hot. We'll look like we're very stylish. Maybe we can dress like hot aliens.
Mm-hmm. Some of my friends on Facebook have signed up for this. So we'll see if people actually show up. The reason that I love this so much is that not because I think it's actually going to happen, but because I love the idea that like this is the fun side of the internet where a bunch of people who are all going in on the same joke treat the joke like it's real.
And
right?
And every media outlet, like every like CNN, Fox it's News, NBC, everyone is reporting on this crazy ass high person creating a Facebook group and just like millions of people deciding that it's funny too.
That's funny. Yeah. And like so many places are like, what happens if you really show up? People aren't going to act like,
no one's going to show up.
People know.
But like a few will and they'll buy our hats.
Yeah. They'll buy our hats. But like people aren't actually planning to show up to this thing. There's bigger news to be worried about right now.
How close is it to Vegas? Should I do Google Maps?
Yeah.
Google Maps. 83 miles. It's like an hour. 83 miles. If you drive 60 miles an hour.
I drive more than that. I'll get us there in less than an hour.
Okay, so there you go.
Quick trip. Mm-hmm. Road trip. Easy.
Do a little alien hunting, a little gambling.
Mm-hmm.
A little DJ by the pool.
Mm-hmm. Instance. A phone party.
Mm-hmm. I have a new best friend.
Who? I'll kill her.
Instacart.
Oh.
It's an electronic best friend.
So Instacart, I can't share you. I love you too much.
Instacart is an app and a website that I use to buy groceries at my local store.
Yeah, because it sucks. Grocery shopping sucks, man.
Okay, so Beth and I live in a city, and it's hard to carry big, giant 36 rolls of 2-ply toilet paper home. It's heavy.
It's really heavy, and I don't have a car. So yeah. If I buy groceries, I have to walk them from the grocery store to my house. It's heavy, big bags, and that's why I love Instacart.
And also, when you're busy, when you're home, let's say like you're painting your house, or I don't know, you're doing work, you've been cleaning all day, the last thing you want to do is go to the grocery store. And that's why I open my app and I'm like, boop, 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 boop. Now that I've used Instacart probably like 10 to 15 times, yeah, they have all of my favorite items saved already, so it can kind of predict what I'm gonna buy.
Yep.
I just freaking love Instacart.
Instacart is a way that you can have groceries delivered from local and national retailers to your house in as little as an hour or at a time you select. It's great if you are like having guests or a party, you're busy getting ready, you can just schedule your groceries to show up when you need them. That's one less thing you have to do.
Or if you're coming home from a trip and you know what time you're going to arrive home, mm-hmm, set your Instacart delivery to show up like 25 minutes after you've gotten home.
Yep. Your shopper gathers your groceries, they pick the best fruit, they pick the most ripe stuff, they keep the hot stuff hot and the cold stuff cold, and then they bring them to you.
You know, in terms of produce, I've never been disappointed with what my Instacart shopper picked out for me. Yeah. It's always been good stuff.
They thump the melons for you.
Mm-hmm.
So try Instacart and get $10 off your first order. To get this limited time offer, go to instacart.com or download the mobile app and enter our promo code TASTE when you check out.
That's $10 off your first order today at instacart.com or through the mobile app. And don't forget to enter our code TASTE. That's TASTE.
Again, instacart.com or through the mobile app with our code TASTE at checkout.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but go to the dentist. You need to go.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you do need to wash your jeans, not just put them in the freezer.
What? People do that? They put things in the freezer?
Yeah, the guy who like invented some major jean brand, he was like, I don't ever wash my jeans, I just put them in the freezer.
But what about that crotch gunk?
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's okay to blame your fart on somebody else.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know who needs to hear this, but a 40% phone battery means it's time to panic. If you don't feel this way, you have nerves of steel.
No, 40%? I don't need to panic at 40%. You panic. Crazy? It's Prime Day, so I don't know who needs to hear this, but just because it's on sale doesn't mean you need it.
No, agree. And may I bounce off of that? May I piggyback off of what you've just said?
Uh-huh.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but just because it took you a really long time to make does not mean that it is worth $500 on Etsy.
Hashtag Etsy fail. Mm-hmm. I don't know who needs to hear this, but maybe you should think seriously about running for public office.
Mm.
Right?
I don't know who needs to hear this, but your hobbies are as nerdy as you're afraid that they are, and that's great because they make you happy, so enjoy them.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but if you're struggling financially and you can't keep up with your friends, it's okay to tell them, and if they're true friends, they'll stay friends with you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you do need that extra cup of coffee.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but cancel your free membership.
Yeah, guess what? It's going to cost you money.
Did you ever watch the new Twilight Zone on the CBS app?
No.
That's a free membership that I'm going to get,
mm-hmm,
and then I'm going to cancel after 7 days.
Yeah, you have to remember. I'm always starting a new Stars trial membership so I can watch like some movie that only Stars has.
Bethany, you can have my Stars login.
Have a Stars login?
I do. We're intimate at this point.
Who has a Stars login?
I've seen your nipples multiple times.
Why do you have a Stars login?
Because I pay for cable. Because I'm like the last person on earth to pay for cable. Because my husband refuses to cancel it.
Oh, man.
You know, we're addicted to TV.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know how it's like everyone's up in arms because The Office and Friends are going to come off of Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. I like to put on Friends,
mm-hmm,
to like, you know, relax. Also, I haven't seen all the episodes yet. But NBC is coming up with its own streaming service. And I just think it's crazy. It's malarkey.
Oh, this is super frustrating because then you were going to have every different kind of streaming service, and suddenly it's just going to be more than the cost of cable.
I know. I don't know what to say.
It's frustrating.
Burn the TVs.
I
read all the books.
Just that's the one kind of massive conglomerate I want, which is like all of them together, but then that's just cable. So it's a snake eating its own tail.
We'll go back to the beginning.
What'd you learn?
The very beginning.
It's a very good place to start. What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
Okay, bell peppers. Let's talk produce for a second.
Okay, throw him a pencil down. Let's talk about them.
Okay, bell peppers. Good for stir fry, good for dipping hummus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you turn the bell pepper over, you know, it has like lumps on the bottom.
Yeah, the butts.
The butts?
Two butts.
Four lumps is a female pepper. Three lumps is a male pepper.
Oh, what?
Right? Okay. So when you go buy bell peppers, like next time you're at the supermarket, turn them over. You'll see some have three, some have four. The females are better for
support.
The females are sweeter. The females are sweeter.
And better for emotional support.
Better for emotional support. Better for snacking raw.
Uh-huh. Better for, they're a little curvier and softer.
They are. They legitimately are.
They're better at multitasking too. Yeah.
The males are better for cooking.
And they're more straightforward with their friends.
Mm-hmm. And they tip over. They're easy to.
They're not the weebles of the peppers. They do wobble and they do fall down.
If you're making stuffed peppers, you should probably not stuff the males. Because, you know, they tip. The three little prongs, not so great.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't ever know that.
Isn't that interesting?
I think it was a little bit like Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott. Is like anytime I saw one, I assumed it was both. Like, I think if I saw...
Like John Mayer and Jason Mraz.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I think I always saw one and just assumed that was the way they all were.
It's crazy.
Huh.
I know.
I learned something new this week.
The more you know about produce.
Bring.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you don't have to justify your life to anybody. This is like a new revelation that I'm having.
Amen.
Amen. If you, let's say, want to go on a vacation, you don't have to explain it to anybody. Nope. You get to go on a vacation.
Sure do.
If you want to wear a ridiculously wide-brimmed hat, and it is stupidly wide-brimmed, you don't have to explain it to anybody. You can just wear it.
I think I saw you on the street earlier today.
Okay, look. The great thing.
Wait, no. When I was driving to your house, I was driving down like a major avenue here in New York, and there was a woman in a flowing long dress, okay? Mm-hmm. That's like not uncommon. She doesn't want to get like sun on her arms or whatever.
Yeah, hot.
But then her floppy hat, Bethany, I shit you not, was like a weeping willow over her body, where only I could see just like maybe the inkling of a chin.
Look, it is so good for so many different reasons. I also have been using my parasol a lot because I am prone to skin cancer. I am going to look amazing when I'm 70.
Yes.
And also the best thing is that if you are using a wide brim hat or a parasol and you see people on the sidewalk starting to give you weird looks, it acts as an automatic face protector so you don't have to look at their ugly, stupid, judgmental faces. I was walking past so many groups of construction workers today who had many things they wanted to say to me and were pretty sure I wanted to hear. Ugh. And all I had to do was just tip the umbrella down a little bit and I suddenly couldn't see them anymore.
You know, you should install a razor blade at the tip of your parasol and that becomes a weapon. Say, fuck off, fuckers. Keep your sexist thoughts to yourself.
Yeah, I love it. So bust out that parasol, bust out the wide brim hat, go on vacation, whatever the hell you want to do, because everyone is so unhappy all the time anyway, that they're just going to be unhappy regardless. You might as well do something that you like, even if they're going to criticize it.
Oh, my heart is so full with your positive energy right now.
And my heart is full with the knowledge of peppers.
If only you cooked.
I know. Fuck off. you can follow me on social media. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany on Watson, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram. Kathleen, where can people find your snarkiness?
I am at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
Follow our podcast.
Wait, our deep breath.
Damn it. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. You can find our podcast on Twitter. At Acquired Podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com/AcquiredTastePodcast.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us snail mail. And Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
And every week we play your voicemails at the end of this podcast. I love listening to them. And the phone number to leave us a voicemail is...
917-994-0353.
If you can, head over to iTunes or whatever podcasting app that you listen to us on and leave us a review. 5 stars, please.
Yes. We love reading your reviews. We love the person who basically wrote our bios for us, which was really lovely.
And anything less than 5 stars, our Uber drivers won't come to pick us up anymore.
Exactly. And it's very hurtful, especially when it's raining. Yeah. Here's what you had to say this week. We love you all so much. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm so super excited to be calling you guys. I just want to say how much I absolutely love your podcast. I have been a taste bud from day one. So I wanted to share some news. As everybody knows, dating in the modern era of 2019 is the worst. So I've been having a not so great dating year. I have a date on Saturday. I am cautiously optimistically looking forward to it, but I have decided that if this date does not go just perfectly well, if there's not just instant chemistry and I have this instant connection, I am going to press the pause button on dating for a while, like a couple of months.
Hi, ladies. This is Tia. I am calling from Idaho. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm actually calling from Idaho mostly because no one ever really seems to be from here. So I just wanted to say hello from the little French town in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene. All the celebrities actually seem to be flocking here lately, so kind of weird. It's kind of gloomy today. Normally our temperatures in the summer are about 90 degrees, but it's kind of rainy, which actually reminds me that I want to hear ghost stories, and I can't wait till October till we get to hear all of those. I hope everyone's having a great summer. Talk to you later. Hi, buds. Rebecca from Seattle. Just thought I would share my most recent realization about myself. I always thought that I was kind of a badass until I was jolted awake by an earthquake at 3 a.m. in the morning and woke up to the sound of my door shaking as if someone were trying to get into my room. I literally just sat there. I sat there waiting to be killed by the murderer that was in my house. My dog also just sat there. So we're not a great duo. I always thought I was better than the people in scary movies. Turns out I'm not. I suck. I'm just going to sit there and wait for someone to kill me. Also, I didn't know what was happening. Never been in an earthquake. And literally moments after it ended, I was just like, that was weird. And I went back to bed. What? What is wrong with me? Oh, my gosh.
Hi, girls. Allie Arias, T-Spud from Long Island, New York. So I just listened to the last podcast talking about sociopaths and killers and serial killers. I happen to investigate child abuse for a living, and it is 100% true that most of these people are people that you know, that are close to you, are close family, close friends, and like people that you would never suspect. Especially we find cases of sex abuse, it's usually 95% of the time somebody that the child is very close to, because they need to groom them to get to do what they want to do with the kids. You girls were right on with that. It's creepy. It's crazy. The world is scary, and that's why I don't trust anybody sometimes, but it is what it is. So I just wanted to give that tidbit of information that you girls were totally spot on that. Tell you girls that I love you, and thanks for all you do. All right, bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Rachel. I am a long-time listener and member of fan group. I know you guys are always talking about using strong alternatives instead of plastic straws because they're so bad for the environment. So what the people in Tahiti do, at least at my resort, they use raw, uncooked pasta as the straw. And, you know, obviously it was in, like, a straw shape. And it was so great, and it worked so good. It had no taste, so much better than the cardboard ones that get soggy. The metal ones are reusable, so you have to wash them after you use them so they don't get gross.
Hey, ladies. It's Alicia from New Jersey. To Hannah, on the last recent episode, there's a podcast that I listen to. I just thought that this would be helpful. It's called How Come. Literally, how C-U-M. The creator of the podcast actually had the same problem as Hannah, or not problem, but I guess issue. She comes up and she talks about many different ways on how she got to succeeding and finally climaxing and getting to that point. And I thought maybe that would be good for Hannah to listen to, possibly. I just want to say that I love you, ladies, and I love the work that you do.
Hi, ladies. This is Brittany. I felt compelled to call you guys after the last bonus episode with Hannah and her difficulty with orgasm. So my side hustle is actually dedicated to women and making sure that their sex lives are amazing, they're comfortable, and they are empowered. So I just wanted to share some information with you guys. Also point out that everything that Bethany and Kathleen said is pretty much spot on. Get a toy, get a buzzing toy. And most women don't orgasm without clitoral stimulation. The clitoris's only purpose is to provide amazing feelings because there's so many nerve endings in there. Relax yourself, get sexy. You want to put on some lingerie just for yourself. You don't even have to do it with your partner. Just put on some lingerie, do your hair, do your makeup if you want to, or however it is that makes yourself feel sexy, do that and really get into yourself and feel yourself, not just actually feeling yourself physically, but actually like look at yourself in the mirror, say, I am beautiful.
Yo, it's your girl, Rachel. Wow, tequila. We all know me as tequila. I am having a sexy day. I'm at the lake, topless. There's like a couple with some like couples goals going on. They're just like sitting on their deck and like reading. A few ducks down. I don't think they can hear me. They might be able to see me. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jenny from Cleveland. I'm just listening to your bonus episode from July 15th, and I stopped about 5-10 minutes in because I died with laughter when Kathleen mentioned that sex scenes in movies never mention the cleanup. I had no clue about it because Hollywood was lying to me my entire life, but there is definitely a cleanup process after that. That's all I really wanted to share with you guys. I just love that little comment of Kathleen. Keep up the great work. Bye.